our final responder is Eric Perry from Eric Perry Architects in London, who's done a significant amount of building here. So, Eric, if you can, 5 minutes, and then we'll open it up.
I should correct you. I've certainly not done a significant amount of building here. Very, very small amount.
Well, small but significant.
Yeah.
Small can be significant.
The I just on the bus with Gerald this morning was reflecting on the overlap between law and architecture. And it seemed to me that actually one way of beginning to look at some of the issues that are pertinent to us all, never mind just Shanghai, is the question of rights of light. In as much as it's surprising working in London how inverted urban design becomes. It's sort of sense that actually when you walk around the streets of London, an awful lot of it is created through what we call a kind of iceberg that is the development envelope within which, like a greedy netted animal, developers find the extremities of their potential site. And it's odd that that is the way that we allow our cities to be defined. And maybe it's something of that sort of inversion that causes a sense here and elsewhere of an urbanism that is made literally in a way out of the image that Ricky Burdett showed of the piece of furniture, because we're in danger of treating the city as a kind of a shelf of knickknacks, architectural objects that are designed from a curious perspective. So I think that when one looks at the housing, it was very interesting looking at that amazing image through the telephoto lens of the housing that we saw in the last presentation. That there is an issue of rights of light. I believe that somehow this extrapolation of housing vertically is probably something to do with the building regulation that allows an amount of sun or daylight to get into a building behind the next tower block, which gives you a spacing of tower blocks. And that probably there is this issue of perhaps a rule that means that a habitable room in an apartment has to face south, so that you end up with a series of sunflowers lined up in orientation very pragmatically. And I think there's a very different way of thinking about cities, which is to think about the archetypes of the city. And I don't mean typology, I mean simply the way in which one is bodily engaged in the city, enveloped in the city, in spaces like streets. So the idea of street, of not public space, but a kind of communicative space, streets or squares or edges that have depth, that are penetrable, that invert the idea of the object into shared space, that can be dense and is more akin to the passage from the street to more private zones, rather than creating a series of singular objects which then give rise to the problem that we see at the base. Explicitly, I think, in Pudong, it's not, even though you have, we have the view onto Pudong, it's quite difficult when you're there to engage it as a piece of public territory at the moment. And I think that question of how we interpret proximity and the right of light is one that's very key to beginning to think of architecture not as object, but as something closer to the notion spatially that you might get in a film like Rear Window, Hitchcock's Rear Window, where in an apartment, it's not just the singular view you're trying to establish above all others, but it's the simultaneity of activities, a kind of complexity that Richard Sennett was driving at, that seems to me an entirely different model, and one that is a good one, but one that somehow we seem to have been ignoring at an ever-increasing rate. So that was my point.
Very good.